Welcome to the Forward Church Podcast. We're so glad you joined us today. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast to stay up to date with our latest episodes. Now let's get ready to dive into today's message. We know you'll be blessed.
Somebody give God one more hand clap of praise. He's worthy. Amen. He's worthy. I am, I told the staff, and you know, we have VIP. I don't know if I've said that before. We have VIP every Sunday here at 7:30. Some of the staff and leadership come, and it's just a time of vision, information, and prayer. That's what that stands for. And I told them, I said, today is supposed to be the series finale of Holy Spirit. And I said, I don't know if it's going to be the series finale or not. So we'll see. I might get through this today. I might not. But nevertheless, I do have a message for you today that I'm excited to share. And I just want to first and foremost say this, happy Pentecost Sunday. Amen. I'm excited today that I get to bring a message on Pentecost. And there's so many, just like there's so many misconceptions on who the Holy Spirit is. I always say this, people either have an inaccurate, incomplete, or distorted view of the Holy Spirit. Just like people have an inaccurate, incomplete, or distorted view of the Holy Spirit, many people have an inaccurate, incomplete, or distorted view of Pentecost. Many people think that Pentecost is a denomination. Pentecost is not a denomination. Pentecost is a feast. It's the feast of weeks. It's the feast of Pentecost. And it was established in the Old Testament. It was fulfilled in the New Testament. We're gonna look at all that, or maybe not all of it, but we're going to look at some of that today. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 2. We're going to read together verses 36 through 41 as our main text today. And something we do at Forward Church is we stand for the main text, the reading of the Word of God. It's just a way to honor God's Word in His house. Acts 2, beginning with verse 36. If you got it, say, I got it. If not, it's going to be up on the screen. It says this. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly. This is Peter talking, the apostle Peter. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Somebody say they were cut to the heart. I want you to hang on to that. I want you to take it. I want you to put it in your pocket. And we're going to pull it out later, okay? Y'all are doing good this morning. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What should we do? Then Peter said to them, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Going on to verse 40. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. How many of y'all know that's a good day? Any day that we have 3,000 souls added to the kingdom, I would say that's a good day. Today, I'm excited. I'm going to dive into part 5 of Holy Spirit. Will you pray with me? God, I come before you one more time. I thank you, God, for this word that you've downloaded into my spirit this week. I pray, God, that we would not just be hearers of your word, but doers. God, I pray, Lord, let the seed of the word that's being scattered, let it fall on fertile soil this morning. God, I just ask, Lord, let everything that I say and everything that I do, I want it to bring glory and honor to your name, nothing more, nothing less, God. God, I pray, Lord, not a single one of us would leave this place today the same way we walked in. And I'll be quick to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory for everything that's accomplished in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Fist bump 2 or 3 people and tell them, get ready. It's also a good day when I see we had to set out extra seats, man. That is so awesome. We've got a good-looking group this morning. Give yourselves a hand. Good-looking crowd in the 9 o'clock service this morning. Somebody just prophesy. I speak that over the 11 o'clock in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's dive into this. First and foremost, I want you to understand this statement. We can't go further. We can't move on without you understanding this statement. And we all got to be on the same page this morning. You can't have Pentecost without Passover. Pentecost and Passover are two Old Testament feasts that are directly connected to one another. The road to Pentecost leads directly to or through Passover. The two are so intertwined. How many of y'all have kids that count down the days to Christmas? Wave your hand at me if they count. Okay. They count down the days to Christmas. So December the 1st, you all have like the little windows that you open or the little ribbons that you tear off or something, and you count down the 25 days to Christmas, right? Well, just like we count down 25 days to Christmas, the Jewish nation counts down the days from Passover to Pentecost. Those number of days actually are 50 days. And we're gonna look at that today. And here's a quick snapshot of the Old Testament backstory. I've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. Number one, God redeems the people out of bondage from Egypt during the festival, or actually what would be known as the festival of what? Passover. How many of y'all remember the story? Do I have to teach that story over again? Can I move on, or do I need to spend a little bit of time on that? I'll spend a little bit of time on that because of the faces in the room. We all know that the people of Israel were in bondage, right, in Egypt. One of the last plagues, or actually the last plague that God told Moses that he was going to send to Egypt was what? The killing of the firstborn. But he said, if you will smear the blood of the lamb over the doorpost, what will happen? The death angel would what? Pass. Oh, okay, praise God. We got Bible readers in the house. Well, later that became known as the feast of what? Passover. Now, 50 days, here's what happens. God brings the people out of Egypt. He leads them to Mount Sinai. He then brings down the law to the people at the festival of what? Pentecost. So you had Passover in Egypt where the death angel passed over the children of Israel in their homes. They are led out of Egypt. I know I'm covering a lot of span of history right here. Moses then takes the people through across the sea, right? Which is a representation of water baptism, but we won't go there today, okay? And then all of a sudden, God says, look, I'm going to give you the law. I need you to come up Mount Sinai. Moses goes up Mount Sinai to receive the law. And then all of a sudden, the finger of God inscribes in the tablets of stone the Ten Commandments, or the Mosaic Law as we know it. So here's what takes place. God redeems the people on Passover. See, God bringing the people out of bondage is a portrait of God redeeming the people. So God redeems the people on Passover. He gives them the law on what? Pentecost. Are we on the same page? Nod your head, say amen. Don't look at me confused, okay, please. Praise God. Here's the paradigm that God I'm going somewhere and I want to get there so fast, but you know, preachers, we take 30 minutes to get, you know, my wife, she could come up here and she could just go directly there. I'm going to go the long way around, okay? So here's the paradigm that God is setting right here. God is setting a paradigm right here in Exodus that will be modeled all throughout the rest of the Bible. Are y'all ready for this paradigm? Here it is. Redemption, Passover, leads to revelation or the law at Pentecost, which demands responsibility of the people or obedience. There it is. That's what I'm preaching on today. Bam. Write it down. Redemption, revelation, responsibility. Why is that important? Because too many people have it the other way around. What do I mean by that? A lot of people, how many of y'all has ever heard, well, when I get this right, when I get this straight, when I get my life in order, then I'll That's totally opposite. They're trying to take on responsibility before they've even had a revelation, before they've even had redemption. All throughout the Bible, there is a paradigm now. Redemption, revelation, responsibility. Here's what I'm trying. The people knew that they were saved right here. They were redeemed. They were saved out of the bondage of Egypt. They've been brought out of bondage in Egypt, and they were redeemed by God then. They were not following the law to be saved or keep themselves saved, but they were trying to follow the law out of obedience. And here's what we do today. There's a lot of teachings and there's a lot of doctrines today that says you are to obey to be saved. You are to obey, you are to work to earn this. And I'm going somewhere today and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but we all know in this, at least I hope we all know in this house, that it's not the cross of Jesus and the blood of Jesus plus this that equals salvation. It's not the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ that forgives us of our sins plus this. To do so or to say anything like that would negate the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and the blood of Jesus. It would actually water down the power of the blood of Jesus. And how many of y'all know that it's not the blood of Jesus and his work on the cross plus anything I can do? See, I don't work to earn my salvation. Here's what the paradigm God set. Because I'm saved, because Jesus redeemed me, because he brought me out of my bondage, because he brought me out of slavery, now I have this revelation of who he is. Now he's given me the Holy Spirit. Now he's written the law, not on tablets of stone, but on the tablet of my heart. So I've been redeemed. Now I have a revelation through knowing the Holy Spirit and having an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now I have a responsibility. So I don't work to be saved. I work because I'm saved. You need to give God praise right there. Jump to the New Testament. Let's reiterate a lot of what I just said here. I'm going to show you some scripture. What does this have to do with Jesus and the apostles? Jesus was crucified right before a certain feast or festival. Anybody know what feast or festival that was? Passover. While the Jewish nation was assembling together to celebrate Passover, you had the slaughter of literally thousands of lambs in the temple, while the spotless Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, was about to be hung on a cross. We all know the story. They actually had to speed up the crucifixion. They had to speed up. They actually had to go and hurry and put the spear up in his side, and they had to hurry and get him down on the cross before sundown, because at sundown, what was about to happen? Passover. And they could not do anything during Passover. And so we know that Jesus died right during Passover. So Jesus purchased the redemption for all of mankind on Passover. Guess what happens 50 days after Passover? Acts 2, 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly, how many of y'all know, we just sung a song this morning, all of a sudden, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then what appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. The streets right here, the apostles, the 120 that was in the upper room on this day of Pentecost, flooded the streets of Jerusalem, magnifying, praising God, speaking in tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. The crowds look at them and they say, man, these people are drunk. They're crazy. They, you know, that's what a lot of people think when they come to church here. But these people are crazy. And then Peter stood up and he says, these people are not drunk as you suppose. It's 10 o'clock in the morning. It's 10 o'clock in the morning. These people aren't drunk, but this is that was prophesied by the prophet Joel. Then in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons, your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And upon my men servants and my maid servants alike, I will pour out my spirit, declares the Lord. So the streets are flooded with these spirit-filled believers. The crowds are amazed. The Apostle Peter preaches a Holy Spirit anointed sermon. How many of y'all like a Holy Spirit anointed sermon? Come on, somebody. And now we get to our main text. That was my introduction. Now we get to our main text, verse 37. When he preached this message, notice how the people respond. Now, when they heard this, the Bible says they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Stop right there. Here's what we see wrapped up. There is so much theology wrapped up in this one scripture right here. Number one, they were cut to the heart. That's not really a point that I have, but this is the point that I'm making on this scripture. They were cut to the heart. Do you know what the word covenant actually means? God put forth a covenant in the Old Testament, right? He instituted a covenant with the nation of Israel. But in the New Testament, we enter into a covenant with who? Jesus Christ. Now, the covenant in the Old Testament, I'm gonna go there today. I don't care okay. Do you know what was a sign of the covenant in the Old Testament? All the male children had to be what? There it is. The word covenant actually means to cut. And a sign that the Israelites were in covenant with God was that they were circumcised. In the New Testament, it's not a physical circumcision that takes place, but it's a circumcision of the... Put the scripture back up if you don't mind, Lexi. What did the people say? When they heard this, they were cut to the heart. I don't know how many of y'all know the scriptures that's coming to mind when I see that, but the word of the Bible's the sword of the Spirit. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides the bone and marrow. It has the sides. It cuts off the things that we don't need in our life anymore. The things that we're carrying, the law, the work-based. Well, I've got to work to earn this. It divides that. It cuts that off, and it says, I'm placing a new law on your hearts. They were cut to the heart. And what did they do? They said, what should we do? And it echoes the people at the mountain in Exodus when Moses come down and he presented the law to the nation of Israel. They were actually, and I don't have time to get into all of this today, but when he brought the law down, we all know what took place. They were worshiping Baal. He'd only been up there in the mountain for like 3 days, but the man, they had got a little antsy and they threw a bunch of jewelry into the fire and they just said, Moses, all of a sudden, out popped this calf. I won't go there today. But here's the thing. Moses was actually, and Cassie talked about this last Sunday, Moses was a type and shadow of Jesus Christ. And what he actually was doing in that moment, receiving the law, as he was a mediator, he was a type of priest, he was the priest in that moment, in that time, he was the mediator between God and the people. We're fixing to go somewhere. He was performing a marriage ceremony. Do you, Israel, take God to be in a relationship covenant agreement with? And they said, we do. We will. He will be our God. We will be his people. All of a sudden, you see Peter on the day of Pentecost standing up in the people of the streets in Jerusalem. What should we do? In other words, Peter is performing Peter is anointed by the Holy Spirit, and he's the mediator in that moment between the New Testament church and Jesus Christ instituting the new covenant between his people and himself. And Peter said, this is what you should do. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. So no longer are you following an external law, but we are repenting. What does repent mean? We are turning from our old ways. We are changing the way we think. We don't have the mind of the flesh anymore, but we have the mind of Christ. We have a new outlook. We're going one way, we're repenting, and we're turning another way, and now we're entering into a covenant agreement with Jesus Christ. And that's what Peter's doing right here. As a matter of fact, the scripture says, the next verse, then Peter said to them, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, for the promises to you, I'm skipping on down to verse 39, your children, to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, look at this, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. What's so significant right here? Verse 41, 3,000 souls were added to them. Why 3,000? Why not 3,132? Why not 3,010? Why not 2,999? Why 3,000? 3,000 is connected back to the marriage ceremony in Exodus. 3,000 is directly connected back to the original day that the law was received. And here's what it is. Moses returns down the mountain from receiving the law. What does he discover? They're worshiping an idol. The people are worshiping Baal. I alluded to that earlier. Let's read the scripture. Exodus 32, 27 through 28. And he said to them, this was in response of what he saw. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let every man put his sword on his side, go in and out from entrance to entrance throughout the camp, and let every man kill his brother, every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. This is the type of scriptures that a lot of pastors would try to stray away from because, and I'm just saying this, because spiritually, if people are not spiritually mature in Christ, these are the type of scriptures that people take issue with. But if you want to ask a question, ask a question. But here's the thing. In the Bible, God is trying to connect what took place in the Old Testament with what he was doing in the New Testament. Again, in this scripture, it's not 3,010, it's not 2,987, but it's 3,000. So what happens? God literally rewrites the curse of the first Pentecost. God literally reverses what was rebelled against in the Old Testament. God reversed the curse in the New Testament. Jesus took on every curse. Jesus took on all of the sin of the world, and he broke the curse of death, hell, and the grave. And on the day of Pentecost in the New Testament, it wasn't 3,000 that died. It wasn't 3,000 that fell to the sword, but it was 3,000 that gained life. It was the 3,000 that got saved. It was the 3,000 that God redeemed and restored back into relationship with God. New Testament paradigm, let me sum this up for you. Jesus dies on Passover as an atoning sacrifice for sins. He sheds his own blood, not a lamb's blood, but the Lamb of God. He then appears to his disciples for 40 days. I didn't have time to get into all of that teaching today, but all the Bible readers in the house know Jesus showed himself to disciples, apostles, for 40 days after the resurrection. The believers waited in the upper room 10 days. for the Holy Spirit to come down at Pentecost. 50 days. See, in the Old Testament, God created a temple for his people that restricted his presence to hovering over the mercy seat of the ark in the Holy of Holies. That's why I love that song Hallel so much. There's so much theology in Hallel. The ark carried the presence of God. When the ark of the covenant was in the Holy of Holies, which embodied the presence of God, Jesus in the New Testament, he died on the cross. The veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. And no longer was it a man bringing in and making atonement for the sins of a nation. Once and for all, our high priest, who is now the only mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ, shed his blood, went in to the Holy of Holies, made atonement not only for one nation, but for all of mankind. And now, in the New Testament, God indwells in the hearts of believers by the Holy Spirit. He makes his people the temple that he resides in. For you are a holy nation. Your temple, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Do you see all of the fulfillments that's taking place? It's more than being quote unquote Pentecostal. Is more than just about a denomination. It's more than just about what's on a road sign or what's in the name of a church. It's so much more. Remember this: redemption, revelation, responsibility. Always in that order. Jesus redeemed us at Passover. Revelation was poured out on the New Testament church on the day of Pentecost. Now we have a responsibility. What am I trying to tell you today? It's really simple. I don't obey to be saved. I'm saved, therefore I obey. I'm gonna say that again. I don't obey to be saved. I'm saved, therefore I obey. It's that simple. And you can try to obey without being saved and without the Holy Spirit, but it's not going to work. It's not going to work. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, for by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Works negate grace. If you think that you have to work to be saved, then it negates grace. We are saved by grace through faith, period. Not by works, lest anyone should boast. In the New Testament, God writes redemption in his law, not on tablets. It's written by the Holy Spirit on our hearts. When the law was given to Israel through Moses, no one could keep it. It revealed sin and gave the Israelites an understanding of what pleased God, but it couldn't give them the internal ability to live it. Guess what? But now, through the Holy Spirit who was poured out on the day of Pentecost, we have the ability to walk according to the law that is written on our hearts. You have the ability through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm really closing with this. I know I've already gone over my time, but I want to say this. What is the law? What is the law that we're following today? I've already alluded to it. I'm going to give you a hint. It's not the Ten Commandments. It's not the Ten Commandments. I mean, you can follow the Ten Commandments if you want to, but it's not the Ten Commandments. It's two laws. Jesus said the entire teaching of the law and the prophets could be summed up with love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. As a matter of fact, you can divide the Ten Commandments into those two, really. All the Ten Commandments, I believe it's like 1 through 4 is about loving God. 5 through 10 is about loving your neighbor. All of it. Simply put, when a person receives a full release of the Holy Spirit's power, he receives the empowerment to walk in perfect love. Perfect love. Love God. Love your neighbor. Here's a bold statement. You can't walk righteously without the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a bold statement, I know. But you cannot walk righteously without the power of the Holy Spirit. If you don't believe me, study Romans chapter 7 and 8. I'm going to read to you Romans 8 and 1 in closing today. You can stand. Last scripture. When people stand, it rushes me. It hurries me up. It forces me to close. So Romans 8 verse 1. Because Paul is teaching, leave that scripture up. I'm going to give you some context to the text right here. Romans 7. We don't follow the law. We don't live according to the law. We've been redeemed. We're under a new covenant. Don't fall back into that. He's teaching. I'm paraphrasing, but he's basically, don't fall back into works. Don't fall back into a works-based religion. Okay? That's what he's saying. And then he opens up chapter 8 by saying this. There is therefore, every time, I was talking to somebody Wednesday night, and I've said this before, and anytime there's a therefore in the Bible, it's always what? Therefore, a reason. Anytime there's a therefore in the Bible, it's always there for a reason. And so you've actually got to go back to chapter 7 and discover what it's there for. I told you what it's there for. That's what the context of chapter 7 is. So therefore, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the what? Flesh. This is not about a physical circumcision. This is not about law written on tablets of stone. This is not about me trying to earn it. This is not about me trying to prove it or this and that and the other. We don't walk according to flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's what it's about. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God, we come before you right now. And I praise you for who you are. I thank you, God, for redemption, revelation, and responsibility. And we realize, God, that we have a responsibility, God, to love you with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. And we also have a responsibility to love our neighbor as ourselves this morning. And God, so I pray, Lord, if there's somebody under the sound of my voice, God, that needs redemption, I pray, God, that they would experience the redeeming power of Jesus Christ in this house this morning. If there's someone who needs revelation, God, I pray, Lord, that they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, God, this morning. And God, if there's someone, God, who just needs, God, that reassurance, God, that we don't walk according to the flesh, but we walk according to the Spirit. God, let us love you more perfectly. Let us love others more perfectly, I pray in Jesus' name. With every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're under the sound of my voice, three things are about to take place. And I say this because I don't want anybody to be caught off guard, and I don't want anybody to be questioning what's happening. Number one, the worship team is about to lift up praise and worship off this platform. Number two, I'm about to give an altar call. In this altar call, if you need redemption, if you need the Holy Spirit revelation, or if you just need to love God more and love others more, this altar call is for you today. And number three, here's what's going to happen. Number three, there's going to be an altar team up here that I have hand chosen, that I trust with the utmost confidence to pray with you for whatever you're going through today. And when you respond to this altar call today, they're going to simply say, "What can I pray with you about?" And that and only that is what's going to happen right now. So one more time, I'm going to pray. And as soon as I say amen, these altars are open. God, right now, from the front to the back, from wall to wall, Holy Spirit, have your way, Father. Move in this house, God. Lord, I pray, God, that no one, God, would leave here, God, without responding to your word, God, and to what you have in store for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on up here.
We hope you've been blessed by today's message. Make sure to subscribe to stay up to date with our most recent episodes. To find out more, visit us at forwardchurchonline.com. There you can connect with us, learn more about our ministries, and submit any prayer requests you may have. We hope you join us again soon.